Welcome to Paradigms on WBKM. This is episode number 185, Sunday, June 28th, 2015. Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Paradigms. I'm Baruch, here with you on Sunday nights on WBKM, bringing you inspiring people with visions of a viable future for life on Earth that includes humans. And tonight's guests are really doing that. Tonight's guests are Jacques Fresco and Roxanne Meadows of the Venus Project. And I'll let them tell you all about it. It's very interesting. They are very interesting. The last few shows, we've been focusing a lot on sustainability and what kinds of progress we're making towards reducing our carbon footprint on the planet and rebalancing. Tonight's show is part of that series, if you will. Here's the first part of tonight's interview on Paradigms. Jacques Fresco and Roxanne Meadows, welcome to Paradigms.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today.
Rather than me try to describe it, it would be great if you guys could tell listeners what the Venus Project is, and then I have a whole slew of questions.
Well, the Venus Project is an attempt to build a world without war, without depression, without crime. It's an attempt to build a new world with a different principle than the ones we use today.
It's a holistic system that really attacks the root causes of our problems and tries to set up an entirely new social design and backs it up with technology and a new value system to go along with that technology. It's applying our best sustainable technologies for the betterment of people and the environment.
Let's talk about the values that you are expressing. What are they?
To do away with money, to make all things available to people without the use of money. Money corrupts. You can pay off people. You can pay off lawyers and congressmen. So I don't like the use of money. And money builds social stratification. It separates people. You don't drive the kind of car you want. You drive what you can afford. So there's no democracy in it. And people have nothing to say about the way government operates. The government has a way of doing things, and they try to keep things frozen the old way that keeps people in power.
You know, money is really just an interference factor between what you want and what you're able to get. And you're kept working until you can get this money to get your needs. And sometimes you die if you don't have the money to fulfill your needs. So today, you know, the money system might have been good hundreds of years ago, and even then I question it. But today, we have enough resources. We have enough technology if we use it wisely to take care of the needs of everyone on the planet. And we mean everyone.
One of the things I was most pleased with when I watched a bunch of your videos and listened to audio tapes and read your materials is, you know, a lot of times people come up with a plan to share everything for everyone, but they don't really mean everyone. They mean a certain group. And you are really talking about everyone. And that touched my heart. And also, morally, ethically, I'm aligned with that.
That's what we want to do. Make life better for everyone.
And, you know, when you take money out of the scenario and you use your resources wisely to distribute them, you think of new approaches. You use your resources more efficiently and wisely. By that, I mean you might have an access center where people go in and access whatever they want without money. And when they're finished with the item, if they don't use it all the time, they bring it back so other people can use it. You don't have to make things anymore when you don't use money to wear out and break down. You make the very best products. You don't need patents anymore, so you can collaborate in making the best products so they don't wear out and break down. You don't need to plunder our planet to continuously sell things so that you keep the market going, this false market. So you make the highest quality of products and services.
In the Venus Project, we don't have any social stratification. There's no races, no different races. Everybody needs the same thing. All people need healthy food, good clean water, clean air. They don't need smoke in the air. So we want to clean up the world so that everybody can live well and give everybody medical care from birth to death. And since we do away with money, we work like the public library, where you can go in and take out books. You don't have to give them any money. Next door to the library, we have musical instruments where you can check out whatever musical instrument you want to learn. And you, when you're through with it, you bring it back to the nearest library. And so you make all things available to all people. Having money doesn't give you any special privileges.
So it seems like in our human societies, especially in the last few hundred years, we've embraced the idea that there isn't enough for everyone. And you're talking about a complete paradigm change where we acknowledge that not only is there enough for everyone, but that we are all able to share it, that we really are capable of that. It's what I was brought up to look forward to, but I see what's happening in the world, and I don't know that everyone sees it that way. And I'm wondering, how are you sharing what you've been learning? And what kind of response are you getting?
I just want to mention first that you were right. There isn't enough resources if you continue
wasting,
doling out resources with money and using the monetary system and abusing our resources the way that we are today, polluting the air and overfishing without restocking. You know, the litany of problems that we have that are due to making profit first, and really the hell with people in the process or the environment. So if we continue as we are, there certainly are not enough resources. But if you design an entirely new social system, as Jacques did, he spent his whole life doing that since the Great Depression in early 1900s, mid-1900s, then there are enough resources.
It's more than enough resources if we plan our systems differently. If we don't produce waste, if we keep in mind that all things have to be taken apart when they're through, and they must be put back into the soil where nature can repair things, where we don't dump water that's contaminated into rivers. We don't contaminate anything anymore.
And if you look at our website and you go to the technology section and you look at the different technologies and you'll notice the city designs, all those designs are what Jacques worked on all his life in order to build such a system that he's talking about. And the way he designs and how he designs and how he takes materials into consideration are for conserving resources so everyone has a very high standard of living. But you can't do it within the cities that we have today. They're very stressful. They pollute. They are very resource intensive to maintain. So you have to question everything.
That was the first part of my conversation with Jacques Fresco and Roxanne Meadows of the Venus Project. Imagine a world without war, without money, where everyone has what they need and more. I like that. Here's a song by Joe Jackson. You're listening to Paradigms on WBKM.
Hey, did you ever see so many stars in the sky? Yeah, can you imagine how many we can even see? Imagine we're in the middle of the galaxy.
Yeah, Imagine how many blazing stars there'd be.
Tomorrow's World. That was Joe Jackson from his album Blaze of Glory. And now we're going to hear the second part of my conversation with Jacques Fresco and Roxanne Meadows and learn a bit about how Jacques got into this and where this is all going. I hope listeners will go to thevenusproject.com because the visuals are a really significant part of this conversation, seeing Jacques' designs.
Right.
Jacques, how did you see all this? Okay. You're my elder. You grew up through the Depression. You watched humanity. How did you come to this?
Because the politicians don't seem to know what to do about anything. In other words, I ask a lot of politicians, I said, if you're elected, how will you prevent war? He says, there's always been war, there'll always be war. I didn't like that answer. When some nations control the drinking water or the topsoil, you're going to have other nations invading to take what they need. You can't live to yourself anymore. You have to live for the benefit of all people. That's why you have war. You don't have war to bring democracies and nations. You have war because they have oil or something you need. And that's not the way to go. That's a wrong way to raise people.
Jacques, in relation to how you came about these ideas, didn't the Great Depression influence you a great deal?
Yes. I saw soup kitchens and starving people and hungry children. And I said, that is unnecessary. In times of war, we can give everybody a uniform. We give everybody a gun. How come we got all that stuff in times of war? In times of peace, we ought to do that.
We've never asked scientists to design a society without any booms and busts, with clean sources of energy, with clean, efficient transportation, with very pleasant living conditions that can give people medical care from birth to death and a relevant education. Scientists today are prostitutes for the system. Our biggest industry is armament. And, you know, in the future, scientists will question, why are they making these
weapons
of mass destruction? They should be using their science to elevate everybody on the planet and giving them a high standard of living. So we talk about using the methods of science, not so much scientists, because scientists are patriotic and racist and, you know, have all the other aberrant behaviors that everybody else comes up with being raised in the monetary system. So we essentially use the methods of science applied to the way we live, applied to our social system.
I believe that people reflect their culture. They always speak the language of their culture. If you were brought up as a baby in Germany, you'd speak German. If you're brought up as a baby in France, you speak French. I think that all people are the same. They all need the same thing, clean air, clean water, and a good relationship. There can't be separate nations anymore. Separate nations mean trouble. We all have the same needs. We all need love, warmth, care, and medical care from birth to death. Thinking that different people need different things is wrong.
I have two thoughts here. One is, how do we make the distinction between an organic, healthy, nationless world versus what we see ourselves heading towards, which is a global oligarchic slave state? So there's two differences right there. And then my other question is, what in your thoughts, because you've been around and you've watched people a lot, what is it that makes people turn to greed over serving the common good? So those are my two questions.
Scarcity. If there's a scarcity, he can raise the price. If there's no scarcity, he can't sell it. You can't sell the air we breathe, although it's very valuable. You can't sell the water we drink that come up from the natural springs, because there's plenty of it. And you can't sell things that are plentiful. So we have to produce and put an end to scarcity and produce goods and services and make them available to all people free of charge. That's what you must do. If you don't do that, you'll create nothing but trouble in the world. War, poverty, depression, bad human relations. You can only improve that if you treat everybody alike.
How do we deal with the people who are in power now, who I think of as sociopaths and psychopaths?
They are.
Yes. A long time ago, Jacques used to talk about the end of this system with many different scenarios. And one is rapidly happening now, where technology and automation will displace more and more people with their jobs, so people won't have the purchasing power to buy the goods and services turned out. This is one scenario for the end of the monetary system. Jacques used to talk about this during the Great Depression. I want to mention Jacques is 99 now. All his life, he's been working on what do you do for that. People are understanding that this is happening and saying we have to do something else. Jacques's been working all his life as to what that something else would be. And backing it up, it's not just somebody's wishes or aspirations. It's backed up with empirical study and science and knowledge. And he was a multidisciplinarian. He worked in so many different fields. And he tested his theories out, even testing theories of changing behavior.
My background is psychology, so I'm always looking at how are people motivated, what is important to them, and how are they injured in ways that stop them from pursuing what's really important to them.
You have to educate them. You have to teach them. When Edison invented the electric light, nobody knew what electricity was. He had to tell them what the electric light was. And that goes for all invention, even the flying machine. Nobody ever invented the flying machine. Many different people contributed toward its invention. In other words, they tell you in school that the Wright brothers built the first airplane. This is not possible, because you don't know how big to make the wings, or how big to make a propeller, or how much wing area you need in relation to how many passengers you're carrying. So aviation development comes from many different people, many different sources, and many different experiments.
It's sequentially developed, and that's essentially what we're asking people to continue, but as a social experiment, we've stopped in that. We have an established system where we try and keep things as they are because just a very few benefit from it, but the rest are suffering. So we're proposing an emergent system that keeps changing and improving.
There are no final frontiers. Man is not headed for utopia. There can be no utopia. There can be the best city you can think of up to now, but 10 years from now, the kids will change that city. And it'll always undergo change. All human values undergo change. That's the only constant, is change. There are no final frontiers, no ultimate directions for society. They will keep changing as they grow.
It's quite wonderful to speak with someone who has spent their entire life, and a long one at that, working on our human problems and working on solutions. I've got a couple of songs for you now. This first one is from our friend Farron. It's called Venus as Appearances.
Direction. I'm going to say I actually made it to the top. gazed out across that glassy water.
That was Bonnie Raitt with What Is Success from an album she came out with in the late 70s called Streetlights. And before that, Venus as Appearances by Farron from her album Still Riot. What is success? How do we define it? Is it money? If we define success by money, even when we destroy everything else, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Here's the third part of my conversation with Jacques and Roxanne from the Venus Project.
One kind of interesting and sad thing about how we develop our values is that we think it comes from within and we're all individualistic, but all of our values are put upon us from our newspapers, our magazines, our role models, our teachers, our religion.
Movies.
Yes, our movies.
Television.
Absolutely. So the values that you get, they perpetuate the society that you're born in. You're really not given much critical thinking in this system, but you're kind of a cog in the wheel to get a job and perpetuate this system.
So what I'm hearing you both say basically is we need to address our belief in scarcity because it's not real. We need to educate ourselves and all the people. This is a group effort. Individualism is becoming obsolete.
Yes. They used to tell us that disease was produced by the gods and the demons. Diseases does not recognize that. Diseases happen to anybody at all, no matter whether you're religious or not. Religions perpetuate old ideas and superstitions. People pray to change God's thinking. They make God in their own image. The Japanese God has slanty eyes. The black man's God is black. So when I asked Einstein whether he believed in God, he said, which one? And we're all so different.
That's great.
And when you mentioned, rightly so, educate yourself, I would mention educate yourself about the Venus Project and learn a new method, new way of doing things. I really know of no other group who has put this all together, as Jacques has, toward a really positive social direction. Using
resource-based economy.
Right. Jacques calls it a resource-based economy, not based on money, but based on resources.
Well, the first thing you have to figure out is what can the world provide? You have to do a survey to find out how much water there is in the world, how much arable land. And then you design your culture to fit the carrying capacity of the earth, not the opinions of politicians. That has nothing to do with reality.
You're talking about something we used to call common sense, only it's become uncommon.
Right.
If one were to design a world, you would sit down and figure out what you had and what you needed and how many people it could support.
Exactly that. Because when you have an ocean liner with 5,000 passengers, how do you know how much water to take? And how do you know how much food to take? You know that from past experience. So you order so many thousands of gallons of water, so people take so many showers a day. And once you know that, you can estimate what it takes to operate the world. You can't do it with the information they give you today.
And you know, when you think about it this way, you'll realize that you don't get the answers from religion, you don't get the answers from politicians, you don't get the answers from philosophy. The answers to the problems are technical.
Not political.
That's right.
They're not political. All our problems are technical. All people that suffer from similar diseases, and the treatment is fairly common.
Today, we're fighting people over scarce resources, going to other countries to steal oil or get cheap labor, something that we need. We don't go to bring democracy and high ideals, not at all. But in the future, the people will be working and the scientists will be working on problems that we all come across, that we all have in common, like heart disease, eye diseases, cancer. Those are the real enemy. Those are what we should be putting our efforts toward.
Look up the VenusProject.com. We've got all the books you can want to read. We list books and procedures for accomplishing this end.
Yes, we have a lot of information on our website, a lot of free information, a lot of free books. We also have other books in the bookstore that help support us. And there's a huge YouTube channel that we have, the Venus Project Media, and there's a lot of Jacques' lectures on there, so you can get a good understanding of what this is about. We also have tours every Saturday where Jacques speaks for many hours, and I show people around the grounds and take questions. So we have a lot going on. We're working on a documentary. We're working on a major motion picture, and you'll hear more about that soon. So we feel that the best way to introduce people to new ideas and show people what's lacking in society and show people what society could be like is through motion pictures, and we're working on that.
The visuals are very powerful. What's on your YouTube channel, it really, you know, what they say, a picture is worth 1,000 words. It's really true. I think if people go to thevenusproject.com and check it out, they'll be blown away by the visuals, which will lead them into the ideas. Are you getting a lot of attention from people?
Yes.
Well, it is very hard to get on the corporate media, as you could understand. And that's been a problem that Jacques had all his life. But we have had so many documentaries made about the Venus Project and Jacques that several went viral, and others have had many, many hits. And so, and we've lectured all over the world in 2010 in 20 different countries and 26 lectures. So it's getting known, but it's not known enough. And people have to put out effort to learn about it so they don't project what they think it is. Because it's not like anything that's gone before. It's not communism, socialism, free enterprise, fascism.
Or any other system.
Right.
It's not a dictatorship. It's based on the carrying capacity of the earth. That's what we need to know. What can the earth support? Not what you think, not your opinions, but your findings. What you find to be true, you teach that only. And the only method I know of is a method of science. They form a hypothesis, then they test it. If it works, they use it. If it doesn't work, they set it aside. Scientists don't say things people like to hear. Politicians say that.
And theologians say things people have a need to hear. Scientists talk about their findings.
Whether people like it or not.
Since we're talking about the future, here is a song by Michael Franti called The Future. You're listening to Paradigms on WBKM.
It is!
Selling them all.
Michael Fronte with his song The Future from All Rebel Rockers. And now here is the fourth and final part of my conversation with Jacques Fresco and Roxanne Meadows of the Venus Project. Human beings are often damaged in ways that lead them to behave poorly in community. An example being the sociopaths we talked about earlier who are in politics. And in this social order you're talking about, how would one deal with a person who was distorted in a way that they wanted to hurt others?
People do not form their own values. They're shaped by the culture they're raised in. Even the language we speak was designed hundreds of years ago and was never designed to benefit the lives of people. Only the people in control, they benefit from it. So they try to keep things as they are for their own survival. They do not work for the benefit of humanity.
In other words, there is no human nature that's shaped by your culture. They tell you we're individuals, we're not. Every word you speak comes from, you know, your mother might say cup, daddy, mommy, light. Every expression you get is from your environment. So we're not individuals.
I was told that there's such a thing as human nature. And I said, I'm going to try to find out about that. So I went to a series of islands called Tuamotu. This is years ago. And when I got there, the people did not wear clothing at all, none of them. The boys and girls were swimming nude, and the adults wore no clothing. It was tropical. And there were no peeping Toms on the island. And nobody had pictures of nude women, because it doesn't mean anything. We're shaped by culture, by the culture we live in. These are not natural things that they tell you in school. It's human nature. If nothing is human nature. Children will play with anybody until mother says, you're a Lutheran, you don't play with that Catholic. Mother means well, but she doesn't know the answers.
So you're saying that the psychopaths are a result of our society, that we produce them.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. No psychiatrist or psychologist, what they try to do is adjust you to fit in with the system. And that's backward. That's taking 400 steps backward and two forward. Psychiatry and psychology will be phased out, and people will be brought up not to hate one another, not to dislike one another, but to understand each other. If you were brought up in the Arab world, be normal for your daddy to have four wives if he can afford it. But that's normal to that culture. If everybody had a pointed head and two horns sticking out, that would be normal to your culture. You understand?
I do.
These are made up by men.
You know, somebody can kill somebody in our culture and people get irate, or two or three people, yet the government and politicians can harness the younger generation to go kill and slaughter and bomb somebody in another country, and they don't get irate about that. They get medals. Do you know what I mean? They get words of honor and patriotism.
It's pretty backwards.
When we're not civilized yet, when we don't have armies, navies, and
prisons
and police, you have a control system. It's not well controlled either.
And it's barbaric.
Yes, it is.
So this vision, the Venus Project, is really the next iteration, but it's also a return to what we really are.
Yes.
Or what we could be. People are not born with greed and bigotry and envy and jealousy. It's generated within the system. If you're greedy in the monetary system and the free enterprise system, you're rewarded with houses and how much you put other people to work for money for yourself or your stock holders. You know, it's rewarded in this country, and you're admired. The more money you have, the more houses, the more cars.
The more property.
Yes, this culture is based on wealth, property, and power. The Venus Project, a resource-based economy, is based on the well-being of people and the protection of the environment. Those aims are quite different.
Your movies, your television shows, your newspapers, all of them sell the same package. They sell cigarettes, and cigarettes produce cancer and heart disease. That's a known fact. It may take 20 years for you to get cancer. smoking cigarettes. Why does a nation sell cigarettes to its people? Because they get a piece of the action. They tax the cigarette, and then part of the taxes go to the government. That's why the government sells things. The government does not concern itself with the well-being of people at all.
And the government serves the interest of those who have the wealth. They're put into power by them. So they don't serve your interests, really. And we go to war to serve those people's interests as well. So it's a terrible, terrible system. And there's no way to fix it. A lot of people think, well, you can vote in people who have high moral standards. It's not about that. If you have the most moral and ethical people in government and you run out of resources, you'll have cheating, stealing, lying, killing. It's the intelligent management of the Earth's resources that we need.
Do you understand that?
Do you see us heading in this direction?
Only if enough people learn about this system, learn that there is an alternative to the chaos that we have, and talk to other people. Jacques's been working on this all his life, but it's really at its infancy. It really was not presented to the world until the internet started and people could get information for free. So there's a lot of work to be done to learn about the system, to make movies, people like yourself, to talk about it and interview people who know about this system and help spread the word.
That's the only hope.
I just want to say we are doing all we can, but you know, we never had backing or financing to help push this, and we are trying to remedy that more so now, but it's still new to the world. You know, we have plans, we have blueprints, we have designs to take it to the next step to make the first city, and that's what we're trying to do as well. And within the first city, it would be a huge research center where people would be working on the automated systems for the next city and the blueprints and methods for clean sources of energy and efficient transportation. And it would be a huge learning center about this direction. We would also have a huge media center where we would be making information and all sorts of media to get this out to the public. It's the most interesting venture we feel that science could be put toward.
Well, I hope that there are listeners who are completely inspired by this and contact you and who have the next set of skills you're looking for, because I think the more people that get this, the better.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to present these ideas. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
I don't know about you, but I'd like to go to Florida and visit Jacques and Roxanne and see what they're doing. The ideas are brilliant, and I think probably many people listening have had similar ideas, or these really resonate with you. I've certainly had similar ideas throughout my life, and so I feel like we're sort of all on this track together, heading in a direction, because these ideas are present in many of us. The question now is how to implement. All the various people I've been having on the show recently about reducing carbon footprint in buildings or creating sustainable energy, or what Roxanne and Jacques have been talking about, which is creating sustainable society. All of this, obviously, a theme, which is, well, visions of a viable future for life on Earth that includes humans. How can we make this work? We're really coming to crunch time in a lot of ways as far as the environment goes. And politically, I think we can see that things are more than a mess, and that most of the people in charge are unfit to be in the offices they hold. So what do we do? What do we each do? Good things to contemplate, and even better, to put into action. So that's another episode of Paradigms. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm going to leave you with some music, as always. I'm doing a little blend here for you. A couple of years ago, some young people from a community center in Los Angeles were on Paradigms. A Place Called Home is the community center. And some of those kids are really great musicians. So I'm going to leave you with a song from the folks at A Place Called Home. They actually have a CD called Stories from Home. This song is by Maya and Joaquin and Destruct from the Stories from Home CD. It's called Good Thing. And we're going to blend that with a little piece of music from Kevin Johansson's City Zen. And that'll be the show. We'll see you next time on Paradigms. Have a great week.
the world we got. Start a fam, got a job where people simply forgot that a good thing is possible, believe it or not. But you rather believe the hype on the TV you watch. Never get a chance to see the beauty in concrete. This past the skyscrapers, the sun rays could reach. There's really no greater feeling that makes a moment complete. Being proud of what you represent with people I repeat.
We're from the city where nobody wants to go.
We all got scars, even with cracks in the picture, you still consider it art. Only difference is the condition the canvas is on. You know you still got a good thing, like the name of the song. If you look beneath the surface and just notice the view, seeing families living lives that's resembling you. You know there's crime everywhere, that's undeniable truth. We just hope for the best and we're surviving the moves.
We're from the city where
You've been listening to Paradigms on WBKM.org.